Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with a special announcement. We are going to have Walk Through the Bible, New Testament, here at Bethany Baptist Church on April 4th, 2020, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Come join us as we walk through the New Testament in a fun, packed, interactive way. For more details or to register, call 412-242-3255.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again, from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again.
All right, continuing on in our series on Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is, today we come to a very interesting aspect of knowing Christ as we endeavor to learn more about him. And last week, we left off, if you'll turn there in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. And we saw Jesus speaking with his disciples in verse 8. He says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth." So these are Jesus' words, and as he was speaking, the scripture says, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were steadfastly looking toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go in to heaven." So this morning we want to talk about Jesus, who is the King that is coming again. He said, in the words of one famous general, "I shall return." Now it's one thing to say that you are going to return and you don't return, but it's another thing to say that you are going to return and you back that up. So this morning we want to look at the claim of Jesus making the statement that he would come back again. In other places in the scripture he said that he would come, and here we have two angels saying that he would come. But we want to look at the reality of the fact that he is coming again, and then we want to answer the so what question, given the fact that Jesus is coming back. What does that mean to me right now? As the purpose and object that we've been doing each week, we've been showing how that everybody doesn't know who Jesus is, and pointing out different groups, different people that don't understand the subject that we're talking about. So this morning we have a very striking illustration in the scriptures. I'm going to ask that you would turn to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, as we look at this illustration of people who really didn't know who Jesus was and really don't know who he is. And so not only do we see a biblical example of this, but we also can look around us today and see many people who believe exactly what we're getting ready to read today. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken to you before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior." Here we go. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So here we see a group of scoffers who heard about the fact that Jesus said he was coming again, heard the disciples say that Jesus said he was coming again, heard the prophets say that Jesus said he was coming again, and here they make fun of it. They mock it. Where is he? When is he coming back? You're holding out this great hope that Jesus is coming back. As a matter of fact, not only is he not coming back, but notice what they said in the scripture here in verse 4, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, this is a doctrine that is popular today right here called uniformitarianism. Now, that's a big word, but basically what it says is that God created everything, and actually this is another form of deism, that God created everything, and then God just steps back from his creation, and he just lets it continue on any way that it wants to go. And that God does not intervene in the affairs of mankind. Well, I don't know about you, but I like what the songwriter said. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That doesn't sound like uniformitarianism to me. It doesn't sound like God created things and then stood back from his creation and he's just letting it go whichever way it desires to go. But these same scoffers who said that these things continue as they did from creation, these same scoffers put within that whole philosophy the fact that Jesus was not coming back again. They said, where is the promise of his coming? We've been waiting a long time for it. Now, at that time, they might have been waiting 15, 20 years. We've been waiting for him to come. He hasn't shown up yet. And yet and still, as we look at the scriptures today, we're going to see that Jesus is coming back. If you go to the next slide. Now, there seems to be, and I know this is a very detailed chart, but I wanted to put this up, and I'll probably do more teaching this morning than I will preaching. But when we talk about the coming of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later on today, there's a whole lot of confusion. There's a whole lot of confusion. As a matter of fact, we can call it millennial madness because, you know, we have premillennial, we have amillennial, we have postmillennial. And they all differ as to when Jesus is coming back. But when we look at the scripture, there are two concepts of his coming. And that is the rapture and the second coming of Christ. Now, some people, and I'll say this, you might want to make a note of this because you may hear it at some point later on once you leave here, is the fact that some people would kind of put both of these together and just say that, no, there's not two separate occasions when Christ comes. It's just one occasion, and all these things are wrapped together, and there's no rapture, there's no second coming. It's just all together in the coming of Christ when he comes to set up his kingdom. So I just want to lay that out there because, you know, I don't want anybody to come to say, well, you know, Pastor Glaze said one thing, and he didn't really tell us that there were some other thoughts, schools of thought out there, but I just want to let you know that. So I would say for the most part, and I know everybody here is not premillennial, but I would say for the most part, most people are here probably premillennial, if you ever thought about that. Some people say, pre-what? Pre-who? So all premillennial means is that Jesus is coming back before the 1,000 years to set up his kingdom. Postmillennial means that he's coming back after the millennium to start his kingdom. And amillennial, basically, they believe, there's not going to be no millennium. That's basically what they believe. So we would consider ourselves here premillennial. And again, I know everybody here doesn't share that same eschatological viewpoint. But from a premillennial standpoint, there would actually be the rapture and the second coming. So what is the difference between the rapture and the second coming? So I tried to lay them side by side so that we would have some understanding, at least whether you believe it or not, what the premillennial position is. The rapture says that Jesus is coming in the air, and then you know he's going to go back to heaven. The second coming says that in Zechariah chapter 14, it says that he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. Remember in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus went back into heaven, where did he leave from? He left from the Mount of Olives. And Zechariah said when he comes back to earth, he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. In the rapture, we see the saints go to heaven. In the second coming, the saints come from heaven and they are with Jesus Christ. In the rapture, Christ comes for the saints in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In the second coming, Christ comes with the saints, Revelation chapter 19. In the rapture, Christ comes in grace. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming in grace. In the second coming, he's coming in judgment. The Bible says that when he comes, a sharp sword proceeds out of his mouth, and he destroys the armies of the earth. And then we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 that the dead come alive. Those who have died in Christ, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, will be raised. In the second coming, the alive become dead. So we see that these are some basic differences. Again, I keep reiterating the point that there is a lot of confusion around these doctrines. So I'm just trying to give you the premillennial point. But whether you believe in a rapture or you don't believe in a rapture, whether you believe in a second coming or not, the fact of the matter is that Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. And as we look at some terminology, let's look at some three words that let us know that Jesus is coming back. These three words are found in the scripture. The first one is parousia. The second one is apocalypse. And the third one is epiphany. And they all refer to the fact that Jesus is coming back again. The first one is parousia. And that Greek word is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, where it talks about his coming. And when it talks about his coming, let's look there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it says here, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. See, these folk were worried about, you know, Jesus talking about he was coming back, and they knew that they had loved ones who had died. And they said, well, what's going to happen to our loved ones that died? And Paul says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring back with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the, watch this, parousia, the coming of the Lord, shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The word parousia, it means a coming, but watch this now. It just doesn't mean a coming, but it means a coming with a permanent presence, that when Jesus comes, that he will be with us forever, that we'll never have to say goodbye again. I'm excited about this Thanksgiving because my whole family will be together. My son is coming in from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and my other son, he lives in Hawaii, but he's coming up from South Carolina. So our whole family's going to be together, and I'm excited about that. But you know one thing about that is that both of them are going to leave and go back where they came from, that I'm going to have to say goodbye. Here, Paul says that when Christ comes and he meets us, that we'll never be separated again. And that's the power of parousia, that it means a coming with a permanent presence. And Paul even indicated this here. He said, wherefore we shall ever be with the Lord. There will never be a time where we'll be separated again. The second word that he uses in reference to the coming is the word apocalypse. Now, you may have heard this word in movies. You may have heard it in other works. But the word actually means revelation. If you look in the Greek translation of the New Testament, the last book of the Bible is called the Apocalypse. And what does apocalypse mean? The apocalypse means an uncovering or unveiling. And so when Jesus comes, he'll be unveiled. That when Christ returns, there will be an unveiling. It's almost like when you go to a show and they have a mystery guest, right? And the person is standing behind some curtains, and you're trying to figure out, you know, who this mystery guest is. And then nobody can figure out who it is, so all of a sudden they open the curtains and they what? Unveil the mystery guest. And so one day, the curtains of heaven are going to be open, and we're going to have an apocalypse. There will be an unveiling. Christ will be unveiled, and we will see him in the fullness of his glory. And then the third word that's used in the New Testament for the coming of Christ is called epiphany. And this actually means a manifestation or appearance. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about this epiphany, that at the coming of Christ, Titus 2, at the coming of Christ, there will be an epiphany. What is an epiphany? Epiphany is an enlightenment. It's a striking realization. It's almost like, you know, he appears and all of a sudden the light goes on. And that we are like, you know, wow. Wow, a shot, epiphany. And the sad thing about it, some people will have an epiphany, but it'll be too late. You'll thank God for those of us who know him, that when he comes and we have an epiphany, it will be an enlightenment. It will be a joy, because then we'll see him in all his glory. But for the unsaved, it'll be an epiphany, and one in which they will be shamed and walk away with their head put down. So these are three words that indicate the fact that Jesus is coming again: parousia, apocalypse, and epiphany. Now, as we move on, what will be the manner of his coming? What will be the manner of his coming? And I'm going to move through these pretty quick. First of all, it will be visible. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27, let's look at that. Matthew 24. In verse 27, it says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east. Now, let me ask this question. When lightning flashes, everybody sees it. So who doesn't see lightning when it flashes, right? Everybody sees lightning. And sometimes you might be asleep. And when lightning and thunder hit, you're not asleep anymore. Sometimes it might not even be the thunder that wakes you up. It might just be the lightning. And so the scripture says here, for as the lightning cometh out of the east. And what does that mean? That means it's visible. It means that you can see it. And shineth even unto the west, so also the coming of the Son of Man. That when Jesus comes, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us this, every eye shall see him when he comes. It'll be a visible coming. Secondly, it'll be a bodily coming. Now, why is this important? Because there's a whole lot of people that say that Jesus already came back, but he came back spiritually. For instance, our good friends, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they said that he was coming back in 1844, right? I think they said May of 1844. So there was when he didn't come back in May of 1844, then they pushed it back a couple of months, and he still didn't come back. So they said that, well, he's coming back in 1874. 1874 came, he didn't come back. So what did Jehovah's Witnesses say? They said, well, he did come back. He came back spiritually. It was an invisible coming. And now he's present with us here today. No, I have bad news for the Watchtower Society, is that Jesus did not come back invisibly or spiritually in 1847, but when he comes back, it will be a bodily return. We've read the verse this morning in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It said the same way he went up, same way he's coming back. How did he go up? He went up bodily. How's he coming back? He's coming back bodily. It will be a glorious return. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. The Son of Man shall come in all his glory with the Father and the angels. It will be sudden and unexpected. When he comes back, that people will be unexpected or unexpected. They will not be expecting his coming. Since we're in Matthew 24, let's look at verses 42 through 44. Matthew chapter 24. It says here, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Know this, that if the householder had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken into." Yeah, amen to that, right? You know, if you know when the thief is coming, you're going to get your alarm system, and you know, you're going to be sitting back with your axe in 248s, right? You know, 238. What's that? You know, the lady, somebody broke into the lady's house, and, you know, she hollered out, "Axe 238, and he ran. And the police came just about that time. And they said, "Well, what deterred you?" That lady said she had an axe and 238s. I wasn't going in there. Matthew 24. Some of y'all get that a little bit later. Turn to Acts 2:38, right? Turn to Acts 2:38. All right. No, you don't have to turn. I'm just Matthew 24. We talked about that if the thief knew when he was coming. He says in verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man, parousia, the Son of Man, comes." All right. There was a story about a little girl, and it teaches us that we need to be watchful, and that we need to be watchful so that we will not be ashamed when the Lord comes. You know, when he comes, wouldn't you hate to be somewhere that you shouldn't be? Wouldn't you hate to be doing something that you shouldn't be doing? Wouldn't you hate to be caught with an attitude that you shouldn't be caught with? And just to think that, you know, there was a big thing this past week. You know, where were you at when John F. Kennedy was shot? You know, when you got the word. I remember I was 8 years old. That's about all I can remember, and I just remember it coming on the news. But there was something that kind of stuck in my mind, and if they asked me this question, where were you when Martin Luther King was killed? And for some reason, that sticks in my mind. I remember exactly where I was at. I can picture in my mind right now where I was at when I heard that news. And so wouldn't you hate to enter into all eternity with Christ, having done something, said something, or having some attitude that you shouldn't have had? And now for all eternity, even though heaven is a great place, you know, it's a place of the saved, the sanctified, it's a place where we rejoice, but I believe that our memories will stay with us, and to have that memory with us throughout eternity, that when Christ came, this is where I live. And let me tell you about this little girl. This little girl heard about the second coming, and
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of "I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again." If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, "I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again," you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request "I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again." That's anchoredinjesus.org and request "I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again." Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.